This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey everyone, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet robe. Let's just get right into it today because we are joined by the one, the only, Mr. Frankie Grande.
Hi, how are you? How is everyone? Everyone well? How are you, David?
I'm doing okay. How are you today is really my question.
I'm doing well. You know, I'm very happy. I mean, I'm a little exhausted. I'm not going to lie. It's been non-stop stuff. I feel like I've been doing nothing for like a year and a half, you know, like remember like quarantine times when it was just like Netflix and like, what am I going to order for dinner tonight? And now totally. I'm like legit burning the candle at every end to like mount shows. I'm like back to work. It's so surreal, actually.
Out of nowhere. And so what I want to do is I have so much to talk to you about, but before we even get into it, and then we'll come back at the end, I just want to let everyone know that's listening, who doesn't really know, this Sunday, May 2nd, Frankie is going to be starring for one night only in a live streaming concert, Titanic, which I mean, I don't even need to say anything else, that name alone. Titanic, The Maiden Voyage, it really reveals what happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night, as told by, sit down, Celine Dion.
Yes.
And so tickets are available at frankiegrandetickets.com. There's an icebreaker package if you can do a pre-show meet and greet with Frankie. So everyone, just want to put that out there. We're going to come back to that. This is what I like to do. Before we get to the present, I always feel like let's start at the beginning because I am in New York City. So, you know, I have to give, you know, you props. You were born here, Frankie.
I was. You're in the place of my birth.
Do you miss New York?
I do, and I'm getting on a plane there tomorrow, which I'm really excited about because I haven't been able to go back, you know, at all. You know, I quarantined in LA and just basically stayed out here. But Titanic is bringing me back into the city to do this show, which I'm really excited about. To like, you know, be back in, where does my heart beat now? Not to quote Celine Dion, but it beats in New York City. So I can't wait to be back.
It really does, like back to your Broadway roots. I mean, it was, I assume, always performing for you, right? Like, did you ever think, I mean, I think of Frankie Grande and I mean, you ooze performance to me. Like, was it ever anything else for you?
Yes, actually it was. It was very, very strongly 50-50% biology and theater/dance.
I read that somewhere that you triple majored and I was like, is this really true? So, wow.
It's really true. I loved the sciences so much. I mean, everything from like doing the Envirothon at, you know, Pinecrest in Fort Lauderdale and like, you know, like winning number one in wildlife. Like I was such a little nerd when it came to the sciences and especially to everything biology. So I just kind of had a knack for it and a deep passionate love for it. So when I graduated college, I had everything that I needed for pre-med. I was going to potentially apply to medical school, but I decided to give myself a year to see if I could, you know, make theater work. And within that 1 year, I was on the Broadway, right down the street from where you are. So, yeah, I guess theater chose me. But wow. I do love still to this day. I mean, with everything that's been going on with COVID, I have explained what an mRNA vaccine is to more people than I could possibly fathom because I loved it. I lapped up all the information about the virus, about the vaccines. Like I relished the fact that I could explain it to people from an intellectual standpoint, at a place that I understood it from, and kind of like help get the word out about like, you know, get vaccinated and why, things like that.
Well, I think, you know, depending upon what type of doctor you became, it would certainly cheer up if you, you know, came in, you had some sparkles, you had some rainbows, like I could see it. But listen, the Broadway thing seems to have worked out for you.
It seems to. Yeah, it certainly seems to. It is like what I love to do. You know, performing is something that I do think is just, it is in my blood. And I love it with all of my heart. And to be able to perform again after a year and a half of not getting to is just such a joyful and an absolutely incredible experience. You know, I just did a show last weekend, Rock of Ages All-Star Reunion Concert. And that was the first time I got to perform live on stage in like a year and a half. And I was like on fire, like the neurons in my body were just like firing at like warp speed because I was just so unbelievably excited and jazzed to be doing what I love again in front of an audience that might not be in person, but in front of an audience. I knew there were thousands of people watching and it was just electrifying.
Was that like really hard during quarantine just to kind of, you know, be at home and do shows on, you know, social media, but not really, you know, not with like an organized cast, so to speak.
Yeah. In the beginning, it was really fun. I had a blast creating stuff to just like make people smile and laugh. You know, I've created like, you know, a bathroom talent show on my social media. People were having a good time. And then, you know, the world just kind of shifted. There was like a large shift away from like fun, happy, silly social media when the BLM movement rightfully took its place center stage in the world. And so I started to shift my social media away from, you know, silly, making people smile, laugh and have fun to being more of an advocate for, you know, BLM and for my allies and friends around the world that needed like anyone to help. You know, everyone needed to help. That was their job. So I kind of switched my social media right around then. And then it just didn't feel natural for me to like switch back into, and now I'm going to do bathroom talent show all over again. So I kind of started to do just like normal organic posts. And I knew that when it would, like when the industry was back to open again, like that would be the time to just kind of lean into
getting back into it.
Theater performing and creation. And that's kind of what happened to me. And like, who knows where I'll go from here, but like the candle, the furnace has been lit once again, and it is on fire.
I love it. Well, first of all, I've watched before BLM, I've watched many of your bathroom talent shows. So thank you for those. They were really great for anyone who has not seen them. You entertained me.
Thank you.
I mean, I was like,
they were fun. I had a great
time.
They
were really fun. I'm like, how this is like, it was genius. What about, I mean, because look, you've been in Mamma Mia, you've been in Chorus Line. Before we get to all like the current stuff, I want to talk about Rock of Ages and I do want to talk about Titanic. But from your repertoire of shows, like, do you have a favorite show, excluding these two new ones that you've been in from the past?
Let's see. My favorite one prior to now. I mean, you took away probably my two favorite ones, which were definitely Rock of Ages and
Titanic.
Definitely Titanic. But I think my favorite role that I ever got to do was in Crazy for You. I played it at my college. I went back to my college to do their summer music, Muhlenberg Theater, as a regional theater production in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And I got to play the lead role in Crazy for You. And what a wild show that is. And what an insane role. It's like the male Elphaba. Like, you are never off stage. There's like 10 songs you have to sing. You're changing characters back and forth. It's like the coolest. It was one of the most challenging and one of the most rewarding performances I've ever done in my life. And yeah, that was at my college, Muhlenberg. Shout out to Muhlenberg. Shout out to the mules out there. Hey,
we love Muhlenberg.
Yeah.
What about, because I didn't know this, but I read, is this true? Because I mean, you have at least some producing credits. Is this true? Because sometimes you read things that aren't true. You produced Brooke Shields' One Woman Cabaret Show.
I did. Oh, I love Brooke with all of my heart. And that was wild. That was so much fun at Feinstein's.
Tell us everything. Like, how did you get involved in that? And what is Brooke Shields like?
Oh, she's wonderful. I mean, Brooke is just the kindest, sweetest. She's an absolute icon. Yeah, she's an icon. And, you know, we met doing a charity event, a charity gala. And, you know, she was amazing. I got to direct her and produce her in a charity gala for my Broadway in South Africa. We did a show at The Box. You know, the greatest makeup artist and the greatest choreographers and directors. And we made this gorgeous burlesque number for her where she stripped, but like it was behind a fan. So it was like vaudevillian, you know, where like you didn't get to like, it was very Gypsy Rose Lee, where it was like implied that she was getting naked. But it was just amazing. She was so electrifying. And I was like, Brooke, you need to do a one woman show. And she was like, how? And I was like, can I produce it? And she was like, yes. And I was like, great. And I remember our first night together, we got together in my apartment and we got a case of O'Doul's, not O'Doul's,
O'Doul's, like,
nope, not O'Doul's.
Not that? Such a bad beer drinker.
Duvel's. I said O'Doul's. That's not what it was. Duvel. We got schwasty cakes and we just came up with the entire outline of her show. And we had the most fun night. She told me so many incredible stories from her life and about like the many people that she's met throughout her career. And some of them made them into the show. Some of them didn't. And God, it was just an incredible, incredible evening that I remember, even though we consumed enough alcohol to probably sedate a horse. But I do remember that evening very, very well. And it was so magical. And then her show was just, she got a rave in the Times. Wow. I was like, Brooke Shields, look what we've done together. We did it. And it was just, it was unbelievable. She got a rave in the Times. And I was like, that was one of my crowning achievements. Yeah.
You do not understand. Like, first of all, I'm from New York too. So I was right here in Chelsea in 2011 when this took place. What fucking rock was I living under that I was not in attendance at this? That's just, there's so much that sounds brilliant about that. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah. I mean, it was brilliant. And I think that it was just also, you know, Feinstein's is small and intimate and very, you know, kind of like you have to be in the know, I guess. So
yeah,
it's not that big. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like a 2000 seat theater. It was like it was 90 people at tables. So
it's tiny.
It was only a couple shows. So, you know, you had to jump on that ticket. We sold out, which was wonderful. I was really proud of that show. Thank you for asking me about that, actually. It reminded me of my early start of my creative days. How's that?
I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, to start with Brooke Shields. I mean, come on now. Icon in the flesh.
Yeah.
Well, something else that you were kind of ahead of your time at, you know, look, you have amazing Broadway credits, but you know, when I think of you, I think of like you were a social media influencer before that was even a thing. So where did that like foresight come from?
I don't know that it was a foresight. I think it was because of necessity. I think I wanted to be a reality TV star. I had done the Broadway. I had done the producing. I moved out to LA, wasn't getting any real great acting roles on TV or film. Decided that I would be an incredible reality TV star. And so by sheer necessity, I decided I would create my own reality TV show. And so I shot, filmed, produced, and edited my own reality TV show on YouTube for myself called Living Life Grande, Living La Vida Grande. And I did it. I did two videos a week. It was absolutely exhausting. And exhausting not only for me, but for everyone else in my life too. Because I'd be like, wait, hold the camera. Wait, film this. Wait, I'm going to go do that. Wait, let's go here. Let's go there. But that was another thing. I did it for 2.5 years. And that was another thing where, like, you know, just perseverance eventually got me onto reality TV. And I guess like at that time, social media was just kind of becoming the big thing. So I became a big YouTuber, and then along with that became the Twitter following. And then along with that came the Instagram following. And I had kind of like everything exactly where it needed to for me to go on to Big Brother and then like kind of like strike gold in the reality TV world, which then just made all of my social media channels just like double overnight, it felt like.
Isn't it amazing? Because, like, you know, when you say, like, you weren't really getting the interviews, like, the auditions you wanted and the parts. I mean, I've heard so many stories like that. Isn't that just, I don't even know what the word is, that this could happen in our society. Like, reality TV is a legitimate, huge business. And someone like yourself can almost, like, self-produce it and, like, manifest it to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. I mean, I was just obsessed with reality TV. It was the thing that I loved. I watched Real Housewives and I watched Survivor. I actually thought I was going to be on Survivor. I didn't even think about Big Brother until we had a cast party for Survivor for the closing night party at my apartment, because I knew so many of them. And the casting director for Big Brother came and I showed them my Survivor audition tape and they were like, wait, you should apply for Big Brother. And I was like, what a great idea. Sure, I will. Made the video the next day, sent it in, got the call.
Wow.
Which was like so crazy. But yeah, it was really a fun little journey into the world of social media. But yeah, like when that's the cool thing about social media. And like, I do feel like it is a very, very sharp double-edged sword, right? Like, I don't think like, oh, it's all rainbows and glitter and fairy tales and joy. Absolutely not. But I do think one of the best things about it is when there are no opportunities to create the thing or to do the thing that you want to do, you can just do it yourself. And then if you have the skill and the know-how, I mean, it's not easy to shoot, film, produce, and edit your own reality TV show and upload it to YouTube every week. My God, it's difficult.
It doesn't sound easy.
No, it isn't. It certainly isn't. That's why, like, people like, you know, my dear friend, like, Colleen Ballinger, like, the fact that she's still doing it, I'm like, you are unbelievable. She's unbelievable. She still does everything herself, too, which is just so amazing. But, yeah, like, the people that do it, I once I hit the goal, I was like, great, I'm never doing that again. Like,
right,
I was
right.
Like, cool, I'm on reality TV, household name, thank you, I don't have to do the reality YouTube videos anymore. So it took me like it was a stepping stone for me, but I think a very useful one. And I think if done correctly, the social media, I think these things can really help propel people to the next level in their career.
I think so too. So you said, like, what were your favorite shows? Like the Housewives and Survivor, like that type of stuff?
Yes, Housewives, absolutely. It was Housewives of Beverly Hills. It was Survivor. It was Big Brother. I absolutely adored Big Brother. I was completely obsessed with it. It's a Top Model. It was Project Runway. It was Drag Race, always.
Always.
And whenever there was a reality TV competition, it was very difficult for me to stop watching it until I knew who won.
I love it. I mean, it's all amazing. What about, because you mentioned, you know, like, cause I agree with you, you know, there could be like, I think social media is a double-edged sword. What do you think? Like, what are the negatives? Like, I mean, is it like just like the addiction, the bullying, yep, all of the above?
Yeah.
Yes, yep. Yes, and yes.
Yeah, for me, it was first the bullying and then the insane obsession with comments. And, right, you know, the addiction to the stimuli that likes creates, the severe depression that would come when you read a negative comment or a gay slur, or you didn't get the amount of likes that you had really hoped that this photo was going to get, that you worked so hard on staging. And it just, like, it for me, it was a very it became a very toxic and very dangerous environment for me to exist on. And so, you know, I had to like detach with love, reestablish a healthy relationship with social media. And now I am back to enjoying it, but like from a much more of a business perspective. Like the social aspect of social media for me is not the way it was before. Like people are like, oh, I'll DM you. I'm like, I'll never see it.
Totally.
You know, like, I'm like, that's not what it is for me anymore. Like, it's not a way that I connect to the people around me or like to stay involved in other people's lives. Like, you know, I'm still, I tell people, like, if you have something going on, please text me because I'm not glued to my phone the way that I used to be. And I'm not scrolling and like, I don't know about your show. So like, please, like, you know, you have my cell phone number, use it. Please text me and be like, hey, you want to come to my show? I'll be like, absolutely, I'm there. Or I have a lot of really good friends that are obsessed with social media, so they'll tell me if someone has a show. And I'm like, oh, okay, great, I'll let's go. But yeah, I had to make a much healthier choice for my life. And totally. I'm glad that I did. And I hope that people out there, like, you know, there's also like really young people getting very, very famous, from a very, very young age and exposing themselves to all sorts of people that get to hide, you know, behind their computers and say like nasty, terrible stuff. And I hope they figure out sooner than I did, like, those people don't have value.
Totally.
Those people need to be prayed for because they are missing like a big part of their own lives if they spend their time on the internet trying to hurt and demean and degrade other people. Like, that's not a whole person. That's not
right.
A person that is in a healthy, wonderful, loving space in their life. So let's pray for them to achieve that one day so that they don't have to go out of their way to hurt other people.
Totally.
Yikes.
No, I totally agree with that. And right, like when I get negative comments, I'm always like, I can handle this. But I mean, I usually just kill them with kindness. I'm like, thanks for your kind words. And even though the person just said the most awful things about me.
Don't even respond.
I know.
Don't respond at all to the trolls. There's no point. They won't get it. They love it. Oh, they love that you respond. Oh my God.
They'll never
win. Give them the satisfaction because they just, yeah.
But
no,
that's
again,
good
pray
that
for
you
them.
Figured all that out, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Pray for them to get like the peace and love and happiness and joy that you have in your own life that you don't have to engage with them, you know? Like, great. You said a negative thing. Cool. And what the other lovely thing is, and a shout out to any of the Grandtourage members that listen to, is I have an incredible, incredible fan base that will go to war for me. So I don't often have to see any of the bad things anymore, which is wonderful. And that is also like extremely, extremely loving and kind. And the people that, I mean, people, you know who you are if you're listening, like the people in my fan base that take care of me, like they do an amazing job. And I, you know, they really do. They protect me. And they're people that even like I have turned to many times, you know, in my moments of like sadness or despair to be like, yo, is this real? Is this true? Like, what's going on? And they're like, no, what, are you crazy? And I'm like, oh, okay, great. Thank you.
They're like, just move on. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Do you
like, even I have weak moments, you know, like human beings, come on.
Yeah. And it's hard not to read some things sometimes that are said about you, but I agree. It's like, well, listen, it's the stereotype and it's true. I mean, hurt people hurt people. It's just the truth. If you are a happy person,
yes,
you would never in a million trillion years think to leave a negative comment for someone you don't know out of nowhere, period. And just, I stand by that every time. You wouldn't ever think to do it. I would never
even
think
hurt.
See?
People hurt people. I've never heard that. And I love it.
You've never heard that? Are you being sarcastic?
No.
Oh, really? Oh my
I've
God.
I've never heard that.
That's one of my,
getting
it's true.
A tattoo to my forehead. Yeah.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Well, just remember you heard it here, Frankie, behind the velvet robe.
I'm tattooing it with the credit below it.
Thank you. Hurt people hurt people. It's true. It's like, if you're happy, you would never, ever do this to someone.
Yeah. Why would you?
What about, and then I'll move on from social media, but what about, you know, because you were one of the first along with some others, but like, do you think this whole influencer thing can last? I mean, like, okay, you've parlayed it into a whole career. You also have talent and, you know, you were on Broadway and you could sing and you could do a lot of things, but like, do you think it could, there's so many influencers now that just, like you said, are young and okay, they're gorgeous. And I mean, is this a sustainable career in your opinion?
I I don't know how sustainable it is when you lose the thing that you are famous for. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're famous for your young, hot, gorgeous body, and that's what you are, then what happens when you don't have a young, hot, gorgeous body? Then what do? You know, I guess invest wisely. You know, like, it's the same thing as like a dancer. I think about all this, you know, all the time as like, you know, I'm a person who, you know, maybe can't do the thing, the pole tricks that I actually just did in the last week's show for as much longer and for much, much longer without there being some consequences to my body. You know, like, luckily I have other skills besides just dancing, but it's like, you know, like, when you age out, do you age out of becoming an influencer? I mean, I think that the world also is changing, and the world is very fickle. So like, something that is embraced this year or next year can be completely obsolete in a year or two, you know? So like, these social media platforms might be taken down. You don't know. And like, what happens? Like, what happens if there's some sort of a scandalo and then Instagram is gone overnight? But then your life is over? Then you have nothing to show for it except for those followers that you once had and now don't? Like, that's scary. That's scary.
It is scary. And I think, yeah, a lot of people would, I can't imagine what would happen. Well, you're also doing okay because you have 2.1 million Instagram followers and over 30 million views on YouTube. So there, pat yourself on the back, even though it's not your life, you're certainly doing something right.
No, I do. I still love it. Oh my God. I love to create for social media. I do. And it keeps me really happy and it keeps me really like motivated sometimes. And then sometimes I'll just be like, you know what? I'm good for like the month, you know, like totally. I don't have to post for a minute. But no, I mean, I do love it and I appreciate all the followers, my God, with my whole heart and soul. Like, these people were there again, like, were motivated me and took me to levels that I couldn't even possibly have gone without them. You know, like, they pushed me to do more and to be more creative and to be more inspirational. And also, that's the thing which is really good for me on my social media, is that I do get to use it to have a voice for people, to be part of the people that they turn to when they're like, hey, can someone explain pride? I'm like, they're like, Frankie Grande. Yes, absolutely. So I can share messages of positivity, love and light and joy, and let people in on those aspects of my life and the trials and tribulations that I've gone through. I can let people learn from the lessons that I've learned through my social media. So I love that I have it because I can use it now as a tool to do good in the world, which is what I wish and hope for more people to do that are like listening to this. They're like, you know what? Frankie said to post something nice to make someone smile every day. So I'm going to do that. And I love those kind of social media accounts, like, love them. You know, people that like keep it positive, keep you laughing, keep it loving and, you know, genuine and authentic. I love those people. Those are the people that you should follow.
Wait, I have another question. Is there something that interferes with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? For me, listen, I love being the host of the Behind the Velvet Rope podcast, but bringing you guys 5 shows a week, tracking down the top Bravo celebrities to bring you new creative content every day, that causes me stress. It causes me anxiety. I'm not even going to get into the lack of sleep or lack of a relationship. So I needed somewhere to turn. And for me, I turned to BetterHelp. I love BetterHelp because it's professional counseling right from the comfort of your own home. What they do is they match you with a licensed therapist who's a professional that fits your needs and the things that you want to talk about. So you may not have the same issues as I do. They also deal with LGBTQIA issues, anger, grief, trauma. If you are having relationship issues, if you're in a relationship, good for you. I'm not. They really deal with everything, and everything you share is confidential. So I cannot stress how much, because of this job that I love so much, it has caused me some issues, and BetterHelp really is a lifesaver. Right now, if you guys also want to start living a happier life, as a listener, you get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/velvetrope. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/velvetrope. BetterHelp, HELP.com/velvetrope. And as a listener, you guys get 10% off your first month. Try it. I promise you, you are going to feel so much better once you talk to one of their licensed professional counselors. And listen, so many people have been using BetterHelp. They're actually recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. DM me, let me know how it goes. This has been a lifesaver for me.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
I would agree with that. So your goal was to get on reality TV, and here you are. It happened within 2 weeks. Were you just like beside yourself? Well, 2 years, but I mean, like, from when you had that party and met the casting director, that was right away, right? Like after you met that casting director.
Yeah, it was pretty quick after that. I don't know if it was 2 weeks, but it was like, it was pretty quick. A couple months, maybe 6 months after that. Yeah.
So were you just like, wow, like, was that it? Like, you know, that was your dream. Like, were you so ecstatic when you got, I mean, listen, I truly am not just saying this because you're here. I think game wise, I think Big Brother is by far the best game out of a reality show, by far. And absolutely. I truly mean, it's brilliant.
Yeah. And like, you got to be a certain type of person to play it, and you got to be an even different type of person to play it well.
Totally.
And I was so naive going through that process. And thank God I was, because it turned out really well for me. But it is a very scary show. Like, it is, like, looking back on it and like looking at my season since I've left it and things like that, I'm like, this is a terrifying beast that I decided to just literally throw myself into the lion's den. And that's what I always tell people that are like, I want to be on Big Brother. I'm like, okay, make sure you have a really good therapist.
See, I totally want to be on Big Brother. I think
really good therapist.
But it seems like such a fun, it's so, I get it. It's not, it's, I, listen, I watch it, so I get it. It's not all fun and games.
No, it's
not all fun and games.
But it was for me for about a month. And then I always say, like, I had the best month of my life, like the most mediocre month of my life, and then the worst month of my life.
Really?
I was so ready to get out of that house when it was my time. Oh my God. I ran out with and threw glitter into the air because I was so excited. Cause I had just, you know, if you had watched, like, I had just basically been outmaneuvered. And once you're outmaneuvered, you're just like, well, there's nothing I can do. Like, I can't change Caleb's mind because he's not listening, so there's literally nothing I could do. And then the game's over, then your game is over, but then you still have to stay in the house like for like an extra 14 days, and you're like, ugh, what do I do for the next 14 days?
Right. And you know you're not gonna win, like, because, like, okay, so that was your goal, and like, because you were on YouTube and you self, like, produce yourself, like, were you aware, like, how can I say it? Like, you went in wanting to be on reality TV, like, an understanding, and there's no shade in this question. I'm just curious. It's more like the psychology. Like, you might be in, like, and I think there's other people like you, but you understood, like, what reality TV could do for your career, which is not bad. I mean, I'm the same way. That's kind of why I would like to go on a reality show. But, like, did you lose sight of that? Or was that always, did you always have that? Or were you like, holy shit, there's also $500,000 and I also want to win Big Brother. And at some point you lost why you actually went there, and you're like, oh yeah, there's cameras. or you were like, I know what
I always knew what I was doing. Yeah. And that's the thing that kept me sane, to be honest. Like remembering that I was on a TV show at all times, because when you're in that space, when you're in that world, you completely lose sight of the fact that the world is bigger beyond the 16 people that you've been speaking to for the past 3 months. So everything is life or death. Like, every single thing is life or death. So like in the thing that kept me as sane as I was, which was not very sane by the end, was remembering like, no, you're performing. You're on TV right now. Every moment is being dissected and broadcast all over the entire world, which is also very stressful. So I was I was producing myself the entire time I was on the show. So like I would always be like, oh, I just said that. Oh God, do I have to say something else now to correct what I just said? And that was before everyone was getting destroyed for everything that they were saying, like coming out of their mouths, you know, like it became like, like the seasons after me were like the ones when there was racism. And then there was ones with like, you know, like hate against women, and like everything started happening once the season after mine. But I was, you know, constantly editing and making sure that everything that I said was going to be received the way that I wanted it to, at the same time playing the game with the person that I'm talking to. It was absolutely exhausting.
Sounds exhausting. And like those two things are not always, like those are not always congruous. Like you could have one thing you want to like redeem yourself in America's eyes because you want a career after this. But at the same time, I got to say something else to win this game and this person standing in front of me. So that's got to be hard. It sounds exhausting, frankly.
Yeah. But also like, so everyone knows. And I think if you do know me from just from reality TV, like that's who I am. Like you, like the performer, the goofball, the dancer, the one that was annoyingly entertaining everyone 26 hours a day, making everyone smile, laugh, and have a good time. That is who I am as a person, like who I genuinely am. So that was fun that I didn't have to work on that part. It was the rest of the part that I had to really work on, which was like the conniving, manipulating, how to get people to do things, how to stay out, how to keep my hands clean when I was soaked in blood, a la Macbeth. Like I was Lady Macbeth for like most of that play, but I was somehow kept my hands pretty clean. Out damn spot worked for me. But it was like it was very challenging. Very challenging. And then you have to remember, like for me, I wanted to get out of the house so badly because I couldn't wait to receive the benefits of what I knew I did on that show. Like I knew I did what needed to be done in order to catapult my career to the next level. And I knew it was waiting for me. Like we were all terrified. Like, are we going to get booed when we walk out of the front door? Right. Like that's everyone's biggest fear on Big Brother is like, what if we walk out and we get booed, or if there's not a lot of applause? And we would stand there by the door, and as everyone was evicted, decide whether they were liked, hated, or were mediocre. And I just knew in my gut that when I walked out, I was going to get like the biggest applause ever. And
but you did.
And as a performer, you know, I missed that applause.
It was perfect.
So I walked out and I got that applause. And I remember watching the season and Derek was like, oh man, they really like him. I think that was really loud. Was that loud?
Right. And you're like, it was loud.
I was like, no, it was, honey.
Do you think like other people, I mean, are aware of it though, like when they go in, you know what I mean? Because like you look at like a show like The Bachelor, like people are aware of it now. Like they go on for social media followers. But like, I don't know. I'm not so sure. Are other people who play Big Brother like that tuned in like you were to like, I want a career after this and entertainment? I don't think so. Are they?
No, they're not. They're purposeful. They purposefully don't cast people like me very often.
Right.
They purposely try to avoid people like that are like, you know, they want like normal, average, like career people kind of things. Like many people do go on to have, like Nicole was in nursing school when she came onto Big Brother, and now her career is influencer. And she is wonderful at it, and she has a bazillion followers. And you know, I look at her posts, and I'm always like, "How?" I'm like, "Did you have you must have a professional photographer that walks around with you 24/7?"
Seriously,
because those pictures are gorgeous. But seriously, like, you know, people sometimes do take a step away from their lives, but when they enter the show, they're not necessarily, you know, influencers already. Like, right. I was already in the business of being an influencer, a YouTuber, an Instagram. Like, that's how I kind of build myself. They were like, you know, what's your career? And it would be like, influencer. And I would think this was like probably the first time anyone ever said that their career was an influencer on television. It was like my year. I don't know if I said that. Maybe I said like actor influencer. Maybe there was a hyphen it or a slash. I don't even remember.
Right.
But, you know, the most people, they don't hire influencers to go on Big Brother.
They hire people.
But then often that's what ends up happening. But I think that if like your goal is to get a career from a reality TV show like Big Brother, you could be very, very disappointed when you leave.
Because I think so.
Often because they show all of you, and sometimes the edit, you don't get a favorable edit at all. Like, there's been so many people that have come off that show and been like, I got the worst edit and now my career and my life is over. And I'm like, yikes. Yeah, you did.
Well, you also have entertainment actual skills. Like, you are an actor, you're a singer. Like, you actually had true skills. So it's like kind of was a home run, you know, to take your already, like, you just kind of needed the platform because you were already doing it.
Correct.
So, I mean, it really was a brilliant move.
Yeah.
What about, and then we'll move on from Big Brother. Tell me, I just have to ask, what is the Chen bot really like in real life? We love Chen.
So kind. I love Julie Chen. Shout out to Julie Chen.
Shout out to Julie Chen.
Yeah, she's wonderful. She's so sweet. She's always goes out of her way to say hello to me whenever I'm there or whenever I'm on set. And very gracious, always asking about me, how I'm doing, how my family is. She's very much like I feel like she's royalty. You know, yeah. she absolutely is royalty, you know, down there at CBS. So she's treated like royalty, and she is royalty. She has a very regal sense about her. And I feel like, you know, when you're in her presence, you're in the presence of someone like a queen.
She's really kind.
The people's princess.
What about, because I mean, you know, yes, you had your moments on Big Brother, but, you know, you still, that's where we saw like Shine Bright Like a Frankie, and there's glitter and rainbows and unicorns. Like, I mean, I'm from New York too, but I still live here and life is great. I'm very happy. But like, you really this happy all the time, Frankie?
I really am. I mean, I work really hard on it though. Like, that's the thing. It's like genetically I'm wired to be this happy, zany, beautiful person, but it takes effort to get all of the other bullshit out of the way so that I can make way for that happiness and that joy. You know, I have to like kind of like clear the darkness away from my shiny sparkly diamond heart so that it can draw the light in order to shine the light out to other places. But it does take effort, you know. Like, I really work very hard on myself to, you know, especially on my sobriety, to make sure that I am constantly capable of receiving and giving light at all times. It doesn't just happen.
Well, from where I'm sitting, and I think a lot of people, you make it look easy. So it's good to know that you're human and it's not easy.
I'm definitely a human.
What's your zodiac sign?
I'm an Aquarius.
Okay, so that makes sense. I'm a Gemini. I was gonna say Gemini or Aquarius for you. So
yes, well, my sober birthday is in Gemini. I don't think that really counts, but you know,
it counts.
My mom's a Gemini.
Okay, see, so you're like surrounded by Geminis. That makes sense.
Yes.
So is that what happened like after Big Brother? I mean, look, you were on a lot of reality TV, hosting red carpets. Like, was that really how it worked? You came out. And I mean, I remember, but like, you came out and life changed. Like, this was the platform you needed.
Yeah. I mean, I said on the show that I wanted to play Franz in Rock of Ages. Someone clipped it, sent it to the producers. I had already had 3 final callbacks for Rock of Ages. Didn't book it though. So when I walked out of the house, I got my manager, I got my agent, I got the Rock of Ages contract. Literally, when I walked out of the house on finale night, all 3 of those things were waiting for me. So I was like, great, I'm set. I am set.
How does that work? Like, you go to finale night and then your phone rings and someone's like, remember me? I want to be your agent. And by the way, we have a deal for you.
No, he was literally in the audience.
Oh my God.
Well, because a lot of, you know, powerful network people were
totally
there.
Totally.
Yeah. So it was just like, here's my agent. Great. Nice to meet you. And then, you know, immediately the offer came in through my agent for Rock of Ages. And I was like, yeah, of course.
Wow.
Like, that was so fast. I was on Broadway within like a few, like 6 weeks, maybe after leaving the Big Brother house. It was wild how fast it was. Wild.
You did it right. Well, one of the other things you did was this hosting the American Music Award. Like, how much fun is it? Like, do you love hosting a red carpet?
I love it. It's fun. I like to talk to people. It's I'm very like genuinely engaged by what people have to say to me. And also I work very well under pressure, which you can see on Big Brother, but like that's hosting is all like about how natural can you be under the most unnatural settings in the entire world. Like, right. There's nothing natural about a red carpet. It is the weirdest, most awkward, stressful environment on the planet next to being in Big Brother. And if you can do it with ease and grace and float above it all, then it's a skill set that you should definitely try to employ at some point in your life. And I was very grateful that I did get the opportunity to do it because I had a lot of fun hosting those award shows, man. What a great, great time that was.
Yeah, that seems fun. What about fashion? Like, how would you describe your own? I mean, we've seen lots of your fashions, but how would you describe your own personal style?
I was always a fashion lover. So my personal style would be described as Versace. That was my whole life. I just loved Gianni Versace's clothing. When he passed, my mother and I went to go to his house to pay tribute to him. And we saw the blood on the steps. Like, that's how crazy we were about Versace.
Wow.
And then, I became obsessed with Donatella. And since you know, all the years since she's taken over, I've had a chance to meet her several times. She's wonderful. She's so kind. You know, the Italians gotta represent.
Of course.
So they like very much inspired my sense of color palettes, my love of the Baroque, my love of, you know, those kind of things. And, you know, when I booked my show hosting on Amazon for Style Code Live, they actually sent me to fashion school for like, you know, a couple weeks, and it was so much fun to actually get to learn about the things that I actually just loved. And then for a year and a half, I hosted a live fashion show every night, where I sold makeup, beauty, and fashion products. And it was wild. Again, live TV, same kind of skill sets you need to do, like live hosting, red carpet. When you're doing a live show every night, you get really good at it. And I learned some amazing, amazing skills on that show. And I'm very grateful to my time on Style Code Live too. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was a great show. Well, so now let's talk about, you know, like you said, you've taken time off during quarantine, like we all have, and all of a sudden out of nowhere. So because you were in Rock of Ages before, way back, how nice was that to be part of this new star-studded event?
Like, yeah. So I did the show on Broadway, and then I closed the show on Broadway, and then I opened the show here in LA, and it was such a blast to do an immersive, brand new concept production of Rock of Ages on the Hollywood Strip. Unbelievable environment. And then so at the Bourbon Room, and then of course COVID struck, and it closed our show down like almost I would say under 2 months.
Wow.
So maybe 6 weeks we were open, I think, and COVID struck. So the show suspended, and then we got an email a couple weeks into the show that was like, we're closing the production, like you won't be coming back. And that was, you know, very devastating. We had rehearsed for over 9 months for this show in the various forms, like from the first, it was almost like seven or eight months from like the first rehearsal till we opened because of the challenges with the space and the this and the that and the restaurant and blah 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 blah, because it was like an immersive space, it wasn't ready, 50 things. But we did all this work and then it closed immediately, and we were like, oh my god, this is absolutely devastating. And so when we got to do this reunion concert and I got to see some of my castmates from LA, like I was a mess. When Constantine sang Every Rose Has Its Thorn, I mean, we started crying. Of course, all of us were thinking about Nick Cordero, our castmate who died of COVID. Like wild, absolutely wild. So you know, there was that joy of us coming back together mixed with, you know, us honoring our friend, and also just like the sadness that it was so short lived. Like, oh no, what do you mean it's only one night only with like 1 week of rehearsals? No, I want to do this every night. And, you know, that's why I keep saying, like, I started this by saying, like, I'm exhausted, you know, but I need to remind myself, like, in a week when my show is over, then what? You know, then I'm back to, hoping that there's another show on the horizon, because these shows that I'm used to doing shows for months, But these couple of shows that I'm doing, these like this bridge back to Broadway, is only a one night only. One night only.
So well, I need to, maybe they'll just have such great, I mean, everyone's watching, everyone watched Rock of Ages, and I assume everyone's going to watch Titanic. I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll be two nights only. You never know.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, you know, our big goal with Titanic is that, you know, they're like, well, we have a theater ready for you. Like, we're like, okie dokie. Well, they're like, after we do this one night only kind of reading production of it, more staged than it's ever been, but not a fully staged production, then we'll get like, oh, you did such a good job. Here's your theater. And then we will be back on, then we'll be on Broadway.
I could see that being the goal. I mean, how did Titanic come about for you? And tell us about it. Cause I mean, I've watched a little trailer clip. It looks amazing.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's literally the funniest show I've ever been in my entire life. I literally can't even like keep my, we laughed so hard, and thank God we're allowed to laugh, because like if we were trying to do this like a straight play, I would be a disaster because I'd be laughing so hard at just the most talented people with just the funniest material I've ever experienced. So I was doing a show called Cruel Intentions at Le Poisson Rouge, which is where we'll be doing Titanic, strangely enough.
I like that space.
Yeah, it's a great space. And I was in it with Constantine Rasuli, and he and I had known each other from Broadway. You know, when you're on the Broadway at the same time, it doesn't matter if you're in separate shows, we call it campus, everyone knows each other. So Connie and I were in Cruel Intentions together, and he literally like comes up to me after a show, shot me a text after a show. He was like, hey, I'm doing this musical, it's called Titanic. I wrote it with Marla and Alex Ellis and Ty Blue, and I would love for you to play Victor Garber. He's the captain. You get to sing I Drove All Night and Crash the Ship. Are you in? And I was like, yes.
Yeah, like you don't need to know much more than that, right?
I don't need to know much more than that. Come to find out, it is the Celine Dion jukebox musical, set as a parody of the film Titanic, and it's hysterical. And I do get to play the one and only, the lovely, charming Victor Garber, and I get to crash the ship while singing I Drove All Night, amongst other shenanigans that I do. But it is so funny. We have Kathy Deitch playing Kathy Bates as Molly Brown. That's the character title.
Oh my God.
Celine is in the show, not Dion, but her character. Celine Dion is in the show.
She is. I saw that. I'm like,
Marla Mindell, she's a genius. Alex Ellis is Rose. Constantine is Jack. It's wonderful.
What do you do to prepare to play Victor Garber?
I watched the movie several times. It's, you know, I've seen him many times on Broadway, and, you know, I'm channeling kind of like Victor in the movie. So just kind of like trying to get his little mannerisms. It's much more of a caricature than an impression. I must say, cause the material is so heightened. All of our characters are caricatures. Like, you know, like no one's actually playing, the subtlety that is the great Victor Garber or the great Kathy Bates. But we are having a really good time with our poetic license, I gotta tell you. And it is pretty fun. It's so funny.
And it's good. We're gonna find out what happened to Jack and Rose on this fateful night.
Oh my God. Yes, absolutely. All will be revealed. You must come to find out the real story of Titanic.
Oh, I'm having a bunch of people over. So I'm going to be, this is going to be an event over here in Chelsea, New York City. All my girls, all my boys, we're doing it upright.
Get together, have a little party. It's meant to be seen as a group, because the more people you have in a room together, the more you'll laugh. And the laughs kind of roll in this show, which is why I'm a little sad that we don't have an actual audience, because like there's rolling laughter to the point of where like, you can't continue on with the scene sometimes because people are just losing their minds screaming. So it's going to be very odd doing it to no one in the room. You know, I'll have, you know, the crew will be there. So hopefully they're in a very giddy mood. But yes, I would advise you to get together with some double vaccinated people. I would tell you to, you know, I'm sober, so I'm not going to tell you to drink. But if you do drink, I would say have a couple cocktails and enjoy our gorgeous, gorgeous little production that is going to make you laugh yourself until you pee yourself.
Has anyone, are you a Celine Dion fan? And two, yes. Has anyone reached out to Celine? And is Celine going to be watching this?
I am the cast's go-to Celine Dion fan. Like, I'm the biggest Celine Dion fan. I'm a psychopath. I've seen her many, many times in many, many states, and all of her different tours. Like, I am a crazy person. I love her. I know every intonation. People are like, whenever, like, in the, like, Zoom chats and rehearsal that we've had, like, I'm always like, the person that tells like what the context of the actual song was, you know, like the director will be like, I think this is her. And I'm like, her first American pop hit. And he's like,
that's, yes. Just
he's like,
Celine.
Okay, Frankie. Yeah. Yo, I love her. She's my number one. She's my number one diva. Yeah.
Wow.
She's my number one diva. It's a problem. Yeah. I'm obsessed with Celine Dion. Yeah.
So where does like a Madonna rank for you?
Number two, one. Okay. Right next to her. And it's like they vie for first position depending on who has new music. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so like when Madame X came out, Madonna,
yeah, then it was Madonna. You know what I'm saying? Or like if Madonna's on tour, then it's Madonna. When Celine's on tour, then it's Celine. Like they're neck and neck and neck and neck. So right now I'm working on a Celine Dion musical, so Madonna's number two, but by a sliver. By a hair, you know?
I was getting nervous there, but those are two good top twos. Have you ever met Madonna or Celine? Because I know you've met everyone. Yes.
I've met both of them, and both meetings were ridiculously surreal.
Let's just take a hot minute here. Just humor me before we get to Celine. Like, where did you meet Madonna? Just please, because I can live vicariously through you.
I met Madonna at the Grammy Awards.
Of course you did.
I did. I was sitting in the front right when I think I like took my sister's seat, I think, when she went to go backstage to get ready to perform. And I was in the front and Guy Osiri, like, you know, we're like Ariana and Madonna obviously have worked together. Like Guy knows Ariana, Guy knows me. I've met him several times. And he knows how much I love Madonna. Like he knows. And Madonna was sitting directly opposite me and I looked and Guy Osiri locked eyes with me and said, go, like, go. Oh, and I was God. Like, oh my God. So I just like... went, I walked over and I knelt at her feet in front of her at the Grammys. And I said, hi, I'm Frankie Grande. And I just want to tell you, I've loved you my entire life. I just got back from Malawi with your charity Build On, where I built my first school. And I've been living for love ever since. I first discovered you. And she went, oh my God, I fucking love you. And I was like, that's it. Like, that was it. I did everything was right. It was exact. I literally got off the plane from Malawi, where I just built a school with Build On, which is part of her Raising Malawi charity. And I got to tell her, like, yo, 3 days ago I was in Malawi. And she lost her mind. And it was just like the best, perfect way for me to meet her. And she's been nothing but kind to me every single time I've seen her ever since. In fact, I was her her beer chairperson when she did her Madame X show in LA. At the Wiltern.
Hi, I'm Chris Gethard, and I'm very excited to tell you about Beautiful Anonymous, a podcast where I talk to random people on the phone. I tweet out a phone number, thousands of people try to call, I talk to one of them, they stay anonymous, I can't hang up, that's all the rules. I never know what's going to happen. We get serious ones. I've talked with meth dealers on their way to prison. I've talked to people who survived mass shootings. Crazy funny ones. I talked to a guy with a goose laugh, somebody who dresses up as a pirate on the weekends. I never know what's going to happen. It's a great show. Subscribe today, Beautiful Anonymous.
And she, I got to be on stage with her and she did the whole interview thing and I deep throated a bottle and we talked for a very long time on stage in front of an entire audience of people. And it was absolutely magical and there were no phones allowed. So no one will ever see that moment except for the 1500 people that were in that theater. But I will never forget it for the rest of my life. It was unbelievable.
Weren't you like, listen, even with Guy Osiri's nod, like, weren't you so freaking nervous? Like that could have gone so many ways.
It was
many goosebumps too.
Breathe and go. It was a breathe and go kind of thing. It was just like, like you just had to like go for it and not be as scared as I was. Like if I had sat and thought about it and like rehearsed, it would never have come out. It would never have been so organic. And it was supposed to happen when it was supposed to happen. I'd been at many events with Madonna, many events. And I did not say hello to her, and it wasn't the right time. And, you know, and there's so many people that were trying to get a selfie. I still don't have a picture with her, which is funny because I've met her like maybe 4 or 5 times now.
But
it's like more chill now. Now it's like, oh, we're fam. Like now we're fam, you know, like it's like, oh, cool. The grandes and the chicones, you know, like we're fam, you know, that's how we roll.
That sounds like it goes together. I think you need to just notify Celine that she needs to tune in to Tights Meek.
Oh, yes. She needs to know. She needs to be there. I think so. Her team has come to see the show. Obviously, we needed to have their permission to do the show in terms of like getting the rights to the music and stuff like that. And they were extremely helpful in our process of getting the rights to the music. Once they saw the show, they were like, oh, Celine would love this. And it's true. Like, I do honestly believe if Celine sees this, she will laugh so much. And she'll think it's the funniest thing she's ever seen. And she'll think that our everyone involved with Titanic, the movie, and everyone involved with Celine will think that we did it with just the perfect amount of reverence, because it really is done with so much love. Like, you cannot do this project without loving Titanic the film and without loving Celine Dion. So James Cameron, if he saw it, I think he would think it's the funniest thing he's ever seen in his life. I think if Leo saw it, or if Victor Garber better see it. I desperately want to see. Apparently, he said, Victor Garber said that he wanted to play himself at one point. Nothing would make me happier. Nothing would give me greater privilege than to go on vacation so Victor Garber can cover my role as Victor Garber.
Oh my God. Well, you know, if this ends up in a theater, I imagine Celine and Leo and Kate Winslet, and they're eventually all going
to
come. If this
They'll come
like
to opening. Could you imagine? I'd lose my mind.
Who have you, who haven't, because you've really met everyone, like who haven't you met that you're just like is on your list of like, I really want to meet that person? And do you get starstruck or no?
I've gotten very starstruck in my life. I would like to re-meet Nicole Kidman because I couldn't speak when I quote unquote met her. It was at a Broadway opening and we locked eyes. We were standing next to each other at the bar. She was getting a drink. We looked and I went, and she literally just looked at me, blinked, smiled very politely, and walked away. And I was like, can I say fuck?
You can say anything you want. I've already said it.
You fucked it up, Frankie. I was like, you fucked it up. That was your one shot with Nicole Kidman. I just couldn't breathe. She's so breathtaking in person.
She is. I've seen her before.
I want to re-meet her. For sure, I want to I want to have some fun with like some old British ladies like Maggie Smith and like Helen Mirren and like Judi Dench. Like those are all on my list of people that I want to meet because I think they would just be so. I'm sure they would each have one-liners for me and they would be great.
I love it.
I love an old British queen.
What happens when you meet somebody and they just they're not overly pleasant? How do you handle that?
Usually I always know what to say to make it pleasant. Like, I usually do my homework before I meet someone, or like I go up to someone with something genuine to say. So it'll take even the most unpleasant of person and make them into someone who wants to engage in conversation. Like I try to avoid the, I love you so much in your biggest role ever. Will you take a selfie? Like that's not my strategy. When I meet a celebrity, it's usually about some obscure piece of work or a way that they've touched me or inspired me. That is very personal. And, I usually take that route and usually almost, I've never had anyone be like, ew. Oh, wait, except for one person. And this, oh my God, this is so funny. Patrick Stewart yelled at me once.
Why?
He yelled at me to go away because I was trying to take a selfie with him when he was in a very intimate moment, I guess. And I was interrupting something. And I said, can I get, he's no, go away. And I was like, he literally said it like that. It was like booming. It was like, no, go away. And I was like, oh my God, I just got yelled at by Patrick Stewart. But since then, I've had a chance to interview him, and he was loving and charming and the kindest person. And, that was my problem. I led with the selfie. Like, you could tell my phone was out. You could tell that I was there just to get a picture. And this is British royalty right now. I had to, and you have to do the engaging conversation and say the cute, witty, interesting thing about their career. That means that you're an actual fan, You know, totally. That'll get you further in the door. And so when I was interviewing him, obviously, I led with all of my I had time to compose my thoughts, to be honest. I think I was a little wasted at a Broadway opening when I tried to get that selfie with him. So
I agree with you. You always go for like the obscure, like they were in this. Like, look, you're not going to, if you ask Brooke Shields about like Blue Lagoon.
Yeah, that's not going to put her in the best mood. You know what I'm saying? Like, talk to her about her playing Sally Bowles on Broadway. You're going to get a smile out of her face. You know, she'll be like, oh my God, you saw that? Yes, Queen, I did. What? Awesome. Yes, I want to talk to you. You know, like that's the thing.
Or the brilliant Lipstick Jungle, which might be more well known, but it was only on for a hot second. It was the greatest show ever.
Yeah. And it's like for me, like, you know, like I because I'm a reality TV star, I always expect people to say like the glaringly obvious thing. And I love it. Because
I'm people that come. I was going to say people that come up to you, is it mostly because of reality TV? Because I mean, you've done it all, like influencer, Broadway.
So random. The guy at Starbucks the other day was literally like, oh my God, you're the guy from Spree. And I was like, I am. I do get murdered in that very indie horror camp film Spree. You're absolutely correct. Like, you never know. I got like one time I was like, oh my God, you're that guy from Access Hollywood. I was like, I am. I've co-hosted like four times, but like, sure. You know, it's very interesting. You're the guy from the morning news I've gotten because I went on to do press. A lot of Big Brother fans, a lot of Broadway fans, and a lot of social media people, obviously. Yeah.
And you're on Good Day New York with my good friend Rosanna Scotto every time you're in town.
Yes, I am. I was just on 2 days ago, honey, and I had to wake up at 4:30 a.m. in L.A. time to get on that show. Hence part of why I'm so exhausted, because I literally have been doing press and then double duty rehearsal. But now I'm down to only rehearsing one show. So everything is manageable. But I was so excited to talk to you because this was actually really, really nice.
I had a great time. Three very quick things before we wrap
up. You gave me energy.
Good. You know, that's what I'm here for, Frankie. I mean, and if I'm giving you energy, something is definitely wrong. Well, I also drink a lot of coffee, but yeah. Three quick things before we wrap up.
Okay.
One, how is your sister, your mother, and the boyfriend?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, and the Nona, but so four things.
Nona too.
Yeah. Four things. Our family's doing really well. We're very blessed. We're very happy. You know, none of us, you know, contracted COVID, and we all had a really, very responsible quarantine. And I think over the holidays and everything have come to appreciate each other and life in a whole brand new way. With the way that, coronavirus had kind of like right-sized our lives in a very, very profound way. So it was, thank you for asking. Everyone is doing really well. I'm on my way to see my grandmother again. So as soon as I was double vaccinated, I got on a plane to go see my grandmother, and I will be going back again to see her as soon as Titanic is over. I'm hopping on a plane to Florida, which was amazing. Nice. So Nona, I love you. I'm on my way again. And my boyfriend is great. We just celebrated 2 years together. We have a puppy and home, and we're so happy. We're really happy. Another a relationship that survives quarantine is a relationship for life. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I saw you guys celebrated your 2 years, and I agree. I think, you know, if you're still together after quarantine, this is a good thing.
And he's a streamer. His name is Hale on Twitch. Go check him out. He's really, really cute.
He is cute. You're both cute. I was going to say, so everyone needs to get tickets at frankiegrandetickets.com. And for the icebreaker package, you get the meet and greet. Are people going to be able to ask you whatever they want? Like, are they going to be able to get up close and intimate with you, Frankie?
Absolutely. You're going to get to unmute and ask me a question. So I'm excited. If there's any questions left that haven't been covered in this podcast.
Seriously. I really appreciate this. Everyone's coming to my house for Titanic. It's going to be amazing.
I'm so excited. Please have the best time.
Thank you. Where can everyone find you online so they can follow you?
At Frankie J. Grande on all platforms. I worked very hard for the same name and I got it.
I love it. Thank you. Have a safe trip to New York. I really, really appreciate your time. Thank you to all your team for making this happen. And good luck.
Thank you for being so available. They were like, can you do it tomorrow? And I was like, how's today?
I was like, listen, it's Frankie Grande and it's Titanic and it's Celine and it's all these other things. It's Big Brother. I'm like, I will make it work. So
tomorrow is my day off. And I was like, I am not. I'm going to lie on a plane and then I'm going to get off and go to a drag show and then go to bed. I'm very excited.
What else are you going to do in New York? Of course, you're going to go to a drag show.
That's the only thing I plan on doing is working and going to drag shows. That's
Well, I'm glad you fit us in. I really appreciate it. So
thank you so much. I'm so glad, grateful for the opportunity to talk with you always.
Anytime. Have a great night and Sunday night, everyone. Tight to me. Thank you, Frankie.
Thank you, my friend.
Bye.
Ciao.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.